Chayim comes from Hashem. So Yamusu comes from Loi B'Chachma. In order there should be Techaya, there has to be V'Chachma Techaya. This is Pshat, the Gemara says in Saita, Tafhei, that Hashem says about a Balgaiva, about an arrogant person, Ein Anivu Hu Yechaylum Lader. B'Kfifa Achas. I and him cannot live together under one roof. Hashem can tolerate everything. But arrogance is the deepest opposition to allowing the human being to live with Hashem's energy. Because a Baal Gaiva, someone who's overtaken by arrogance, that ego doesn't allow him to get in touch with a deeper self, with a deeper identity, with Chachma Shebenafesh. So Dr. Rebbe continues, V'chein ar Yerushalayim al Parashi Yisrael. The same is true concerning Yerushalayim and Parashi Yisrael. Wicked and sinners of Israel. Kaidim Shabal Adenisayim Lakadash Hashem. Before they are put to the test of sanctifying Hashem's name. Once that test is put to them, as Dr. Rebbe will say soon, the Chachma within them is aroused until it fills the entire soul with that spirit of self-nullification before Hashem. At that point, they are alive once again, so to speak. However, as long as they do not face this test, the level of Chachm is dormant within them. And as a result of that, concerning them also, we say that it's connected to that which is not life, as the Gemara says in Brachas, Tafit Ches, Dar Yushayim, Bechayayim, Kruyim Meisim. Dr. Rebbe explains why Kibchinis HaChachm Shebenefesh Alekis. Because the faculty of Chachm and the Divine Soul, Im Nitzu Tzalekus, Me'erin Seif Baruch Hu Amalu Bishba, with the spark of godliness from the light of Ein Sof that is clothed in it, that is enclosed in the nefesh, and bebchin is galus begufa, are in a state of exile in their body, benefesh abahamis mitzad haklipa shabachal asmali shabalef, within the animal soul of the realm of klipa on the left part of the heart, hamaylech esumayshalus begufa, which reigns over them and dominates their body, besoid galus hashchina kanal, in the esoteric doctrine of the exile of the Shechina, as mentioned earlier in chapter 17. But the Gemara talks about Galul Edom Shechina Imam, Galul Abav Shechina Imam. The Jews were exiled to Edom, to Babylonia, to Elam, or whatever it is. The Shechina comes with them, and on a psychological, personal, spiritual level, that means when the Chachma of the Nefesh Elikis of the Divine Soul with the spark of godliness is an exile within the human being's condition and state. It's an exile in the body. It's an exile within the animal soul, which comes from the klip on the left side of the heart, because as long as the animal, egotistical soul reigns over one's body, there is the galus hashchina, the shchina in man, the chachma shebenefesh, and the nitzutz alakus in that chachma shebenefesh is an exile. And therefore, at this stage, at this part, in this process, at this stage of their life, they also cannot be defined by the term chayim, since the Chachma is concealed, is obscured, and lay dormant and latent and so forth. The Lachain says, Dalter Rebbe, Nikras Avazu B'Nefesh Alekis. For this reason, this love found in the Divine Soul, Sheritzayin Avachef Tzaladavik B'Hashem B'Chayi HaChayim Baruch Hu, whose wish and desire is to unite with Hashem, the fountainhead of all life, B'Shem Avim Esoteres, this soul, inherent to the Divine Soul, is called the hidden love. Why is it called a hidden love? Ki hi misuteres umechusa b'levush sak deklipa b'parashi Yisrael. Because very often it is hidden and veiled in the case of the transgressors of Israel in a sackcloth. It's totally covered, veiled, obscured, hidden in a sackcloth of the klipa. Umimenan, from her, from this sackcloth of klipa, nichnas bam ruach shtus lachtai. There enters into them a spirit of folly, an insane spirit, which compels them and leads them to sin. K'maymer azal, as our sages remark in Saita, again, Daf Gimel, ein adam chayte chulu, the Gemara says that a person is not even an averi, he doesn't sin, unless nichnas by ruach shtus, unless a spirit of insanity, a spirit of folly enters into them.
Saying that it's covered only enough to buy.
You want to know why is it covered after by Pesach Yisrael? You're saying by Beinanim, it's also covered. They're also not necessarily in touch with the Sava constantly. It's not the same type of covering or veil, absolutely not. This type of levush that he's talking about, the Beinanim needs may be covered with a coat, not with a sackcloth. What is Dr. Rebbe saying? That essentially when a Jew sins, he's acting insane. What does that mean? I would think that a person sins often because he feels good about that, because he feels that's the enjoyable thing to do. Because he is sane. He wants to be human, he wants to enjoy life. Dr. Rebbe says no, it comes from the Ruach Tus, from the Gemara says it comes from insanity. So generally, as explained later, there are two forms in which this insanity works, and these are the two primary methods that the klipa, that the sack uses in order to compel us to sin. And both are a sense of ruach shtus. One type of ruach shtus is as follows. While you're sinning, you know that what you're doing now is totally improper, unhealthy, non-beneficial. A human being knows that sometimes very well. The moment before, he's not only talking about external sins, even serious issues that are connected to the intimate self and so forth. All types of chataya. Very often a human being is in a certain state, an impulse enters into his life or her life. He knows very well that this is unhealthy. It's unhealthy physically, psychologically, spiritually. I myself am going to regret it 10 minutes afterwards. So why are you doing it? If you yourself are going to regret it, you even might feel misery. How do you know? Because yesterday you did the same thing and you regretted it. And the day before you did the same thing and you regretted it. So why are you doing it? You're supposedly an intelligent person. You're a sane person, yeah? So why are you doing it? It's not pshad. You think you might not regret it. You know you did it yesterday and 2 days ago and 3 days and 4 days ago. So what does that come from? It comes from a ruach shtus. You're not being in touch with yourself. The klipa has this power. Disregard everything. Disregard yourself. And do it. So you do it, then you regret it. Kamemein, and tomorrow morning will change. Right to the Zalbamaisa. That's one form of ruach shtus. You forget who you are. The taiva tells you, I don't care about who I am. I'm not really that. I don't really care who I am. I don't care about my health. But you do care. The same is true concerning the Jew in his relationship. A Jew is essentially connected to Hashem. The Ruach Shtus tells him, no, you really... It makes him indifferent to himself. It makes him apathetic to what he is really not apathetic to. That's one form of Ruach Shtus. Another form of Ruach Shtus is he's not apathetic to himself. But the Klipa comes and tells him, this is not really a war against yourself. It's not really significant. Nothing is really happening here. So the person, although he does care, if he would realize that he's tearing himself away from himself, he would not engage in it, like in the first case where that itself is challenged. In the second case, the Ruach Shtus, no, nish gefährlich. In the case of an Aveira, it tells him, by doing this, you are not separating yourself from your God. In other words, essentially, the Alter Rebbe is saying, every single Jew will agree and acknowledge that he's not ready to become totally severed and separated from Hashem. And even at the moment when he's treading a path, which is separating him more and more from Hashem, at that very moment he says, I'm not going to do something that's going to separate me from Hashem. But there's a spirit of insanity that enters into his consciousness and says, this is insignificant, this is just symbolic, this is old-fashioned, this is historical, this is not really connected, this is just a temporary thing, and so forth. It could be an intellectual spirit of insanity, an emotional spirit of insanity, that's not the case. And this allows the Jew to exist in a paradox, to survive, to operate in a paradox. The paradox is to be very far, and at that very moment, to have the power and the readiness to sacrifice himself, not to be far at all, to be very close. At that very moment when he's very far. That's the Ruach Shtus. But Alter Rebbe continues, Ella, however, shegolus hazel b'chinas chachma. This exile of the faculty of chachma einei ella l'b'china hamispashetus memena b'nefesh kulolach yis affects only that aspect of it which is diffused, which is transmitted throughout the nefesh, throughout the soul, and animates it with divine vitality. This exile to chachma only affects that which comes from chachma, the energy which is communicated from chachma to the rest of the soul. But the root and the core of the chachma, the divine soul, is in the brain. And does not clothe itself in the sackcloth of the klipa on the left part of the brain, on the left part of the heart, in a true state of exile. The source of the chachma is in the mind. So what becomes exiled through the klipa in the heart? The extension of chachma, the projection of chachma. The source, the foundation, the core of chachma is in the mind, and that does not get enclosed in the sackcloth of the klipa in the left part of the heart, entering a state of exile. It is merely dormant, it's asleep. In the case of the Rasha, the Eina Payalis Paulasaba, not exercising its influence within them, calls Mansha Sukim, Bidaitum Obinosum Bataivasail. As long as their knowledge, their da'as and their bina, note those words, their knowledge and understanding are preoccupied with mundane, worldly, and egotistical pleasures. But when these very same people are confronted with a test of faith, which transcends knowledge, touching the very soul and the faculty of chachma within the soul, azai then hinei oira mishnasa, she suddenly arises from her sleep, upayeles pulasa, and exerts its influence, bekayach Hashem hamalubeshba, with the divine energy and force that is clothed in it. Ukmashakaso, to paraphrase the pasuk in Tilim, Hashem awakened as one out of sleep. The revelation of this switch, of this consciousness, affects even the Rasha to withstand the test of faith in the God, without any reasoning or knowledge that he can comprehend. To prevail over the klippas and over the desires towards worldly matters, both permitted lusts and forbidden lusts, which he was accustomed to indulge in, and even to come to despise them. And at that moment, and to choose Hashem as his portion and his lot, limser loy nafshei al kedushas shmoi, to offer his soul to Hashem for the sanctification of his holy name. Va'af ki aklipa is gavru alav kol yom avalayachila. Although the klipa has prevailed over him all his life, and he was impotent against them. Kemayim merazal, as our sages put it in Medrash, and Bereshis Rabbal Amadalit, Sharishayim hem bereshus libam, that the wicked are under the control of their heart, and therefore this human being was incapable of real self-control, of real refinement, of real spiritual exaltation. Mikol makayim, nevertheless, kishabal l'day nisoyin b'dvar emunah b'Hashem echad, when this same man faces a test challenging his faith in the one God, whose foundation is in that level of the divine soul called the heights of holiness, the mountains of holiness, namely, the faculty of chachma and the nefesh alikis, when it comes to this issue which affects the chachma of the nefesh alikis, which in which is closed the light and energy of Ein Sof, Hari Kol HaKlipa is Ptelim Umuvatala, then all the shells become nullified, V'hayu Kiloi Hayu Mamish Lifnei Hashem, and they vanish as though they had never existed. They become ptelim mevitalim naught and nothing in the presence of God. Kedeksiv, as the pasuk puts it in Tehillim Tzadik Beis, kol hagoyim ka'ayin negdei v'gayim, all the nations are as nothing before him. Uksiv, the pasuk says, for all your enemies, O Lord, O Hashem, all your enemies will perish, they will be scattered. Right, the first pasuk is in Yeshaya, Yeshaya Perek Mem. The second pasuk is in Tilim, Tzadik Beis. And Vayter Uksiv, there's a pasuk also in Tilim, Kihim as Doinag Mipnei Eish Yevedu V'Goymer. As wax melts before fire, so shall the wicked perish. Uksiv, there's another pasuk in Tilim, Harim Kadoinag Namasu. The hills melted like wax. So this all demonstrates the idea that when Chachma Shebenefesh gets revealed, all the clippers become nullified, vanished, naught and nothing, as if they never existed. There's a difference between galus. What is Alter Rebbe saying here? There's a difference between galus and shina. The difference between being in exile and being asleep. You know the difference? Huh? An exile. There's a prisoner and there's someone who's asleep. Both are not functioning and maximizing their potentials, talents, gifts, and energies, and so forth, but with a major difference. When I'm in exile, when enemies have captivated me, I am using my energies. I am using my talents, but not to serve myself, to serve an enemy, to serve a hostile human being who attempts to suppress me, to abnegate my wishes, my desires, my identity, and take those very same faculties to serve him. When a person is asleep, he's not using his energies for a foreign, alien, hostile force or party. He's just asleep. So this is a major difference between galus and shina. In galus, there is a distortion. In Shina, there's a lack of expression. The human being is not functioning properly. But there's no distortion of those very same energies. What is galus? What does it mean a person is in exile? Physical exile we're talking about. Physical exile means a human being was taken away from his environment. He cannot do, he cannot behave based on what he wants, on what he wishes in life, on what he feels is correct, and so on and so forth. He has to serve an enemy based on the other person's desires. Says the Alter Rebbe, a Jew has Chachma. Chachma gives all vibes. Chachma is the first sphere in the soul, and it transmits its identity, its energy, to all of the aspects of the soul. Now, by many Jews, he says, all these aspects that come from Chachma enter a state of galus. The Chachma itself is never in galus, it's just asleep. What does this mean? There is an essential yearning in the Jew towards transcendence, which comes from the Chachma in his nefesh. Neid Hashem nishmas Adam. This is part of who he is. He has a connection to Hashem, and he yearns to be connected, to be linked, to be bound up with that reality. That is part of who he is. But this energy can exist in exile, which means the same energy is there, but it assumes other forms. That inner desire, commitment, self-nullification of the Jew exists in his soul even in exile, but then it finds expression in various forms, even in antithetical forms. But it's using that very same nekuda, that very same foundation, for the enemy territory. You guys know Jews, right? You know about Jews. It's anecdotal, but it's not really anecdotal, when we talk about Jews having an inherent neurosis, being neurotic, never content with anything. Life is never perfectly good. A Jew wakes up in the morning, something is not going for him. Either physically, psychologically, emotionally, spiritually. Never really content. Something perturbs them. We talk about Jewish obsession. Jews are obsessed. They're obsessed by something. It's not unknown, it's not a secret, that our century has seen, this was a century that was fraught with extraordinary revolutions in many areas. Perhaps from all of history, the century has been the century of revolutions, both positive and negative. And in very disproportionately, Jews, as leaders of these revolutions, outnumbered all other people. In fact, the three greatest revolutions of this century were all done by a nice Yiddish kinder in the scientific field by Professor Einstein, in the realm of psychology by Professor Freud, and in the realm of politics by Marx. Huh? When they were born. And these revolutions, of course, impacted the century in a very, very powerful way. I was in Nevada last week for Yitzhak Kislev, so I was talking to the professor. So he made a study, a very interesting study, that, you know, the New Age movement that sprung up in this decade in America. He says, in America, how many percent of Americans are Jews? How much percent Jews constitute? What, 1% of Americans? 2%? Whatever it is. In the New Age group seeking for spirituality and psychological recovery and spiritual healing and so forth, more than 50% are led by Jews. More than 50% of the groups are led and constitute of Jews. Totally disproportionate. You would think America Jews are 2%, so New Age groups would be 2% Jews, 10%. More than 50%. In Chassidus it says that when Jews go in and get involved in various things, they become obsessed much more than non-Jews. Whatever it is, take in business. You know the difference how Jews do business and non-Jews do business? Huh? Very often, a Jew gets involved in something, he totally dives into it. There is a certain restlessness, a certain passion, a certain power that characterizes the Jew in every area. When it comes to certain impulses and addictions, it's also in a very, very powerful way. It's like almost never boring. There's never a silent moment. There's always extremism in the Jew. They're very extreme. Liberals. Who are the most powerful liberals? Everything is the extreme. It says in Chassidus, why is this? Pashut. Chachma shebenafesh. You see, the world is defined by finiteness. So everything we do or we don't do is finite. So you have a taiva. It's a finite taiva. You're involved in business. The motivation is finite. The business is finite. And so on and so forth. A Jew has a lakus in him, has infinity within him. So when he gets involved in life, there's an infinite energy that characterizes his life. If you want to be irreverent a little bit, you could say a Jew has a transcendental neurosis. He is driven, he's like a flame. Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam, the soul is always driven to be connected with transcendence. The soul never feels content with life. Give it food, give it a home, give it a television, give it a BMW, give it new clothes. Whatever you give it, the body, by definition, it has needs. You grant it those needs and it's content. The soul, like a flame, is never content. It's always seeking to transcend its parameters and to connect with Hashem. If the Jew tunes into this, he realizes where it's coming from, he directs it towards connecting with godliness and spirituality. If he is in and tuned with this, so that very same energy becomes exiled. Other parties, other elements, other forces take it and use it for their own benefit. Why is it that they led all these revolutions? You know why? Because at the heart of the Jew's life, there is like a messianic fire. He feels that materialism is not the zach. We have to change. We have to metamorphosize. We have to transform. Whether make the whole world a social... transform, introduce into the world the ideals of socialism, whatever it is, and as it was in that case. But he has a fire of revolution within him. That's what Alter Rebbe is saying. Chachma is revolution. That's what Chachma is. Like a flame is the ultimate revolutionary. You can't silence the revolutionary. A Jew is a revolutionary. In him there is a consciousness that I have to change, we have to transform, we have to go beyond. So if he's connected and in tune to the real energy, the real forces, that revolution takes the most positive and healthy form. And that is a positive revolution. In his own life, in his own personal life, and in his environment, and so forth. What can happen often is that very same energy goes into galus. What says it goes into galus? It goes into exile, that it's the same power, but it's serving. It's worshipping. It's being projected and expressed to things which are really antithetical to itself. In Eastern Europe, before the war, it was no seldom phenomenon that the father of the Zayda was a Rebbe of Chassidim, and the son of the grandchild was also a big Rebbe, a Rebbe of the communists. But also a Rebbe. The previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the father-in-law of the Rebbe, describes in his diary that when he was imprisoned in 1927, he was imprisoned by the Soviet regime for spreading Yiddishkeit in Russia. He was deemed a counter-revolutionary and threatening to undermine the authority of the communists, Stalin, and so forth. And actually a death penalty was given forth, God forbid, and then it was exchanged. And he was ultimately liberated. So he describes in his diary that they came to arrest him in the middle of the night. And as he was leaving his home, he had a package. They allowed him to take a few things, talis, tefillin, some svarim, and so forth. And he gave it to one of the soldiers to carry it for him. And Lulav was a Jew, and Lulav came to arrest him in the name of the NKVD, of the KGB, of the Communist Party. He was a distinguished official and officer and so forth. So Lulav takes the package from the soldier, and he turns to the previous Rebbe, and he tells him in Yiddish, he says, Rebbe, mein Zayde is given a chassid by Eier Zayde. Eret getragen seine Peklach, ichel tragen deine Peklach. My grandfather was a chassid by your grandfather, the Rebbe Maharash, and he carried his packages. I'll carry your packages. And the Friedrich Rebbe grabbed it away. The previous Rebbe grabbed it away from him, and he said, "Nein, dein Zayde hat sich gewinnt zu sein, a chassid for mein Zayde. Your Zayde merited to be a chassid of my Zayde." So he followed him where my Zayde wants to go. And you want, I should follow you where you want to take me. That's not going to happen. And he took away the package and he gave it to one of the soldiers. And he writes that even Lulav was taken aback for a moment. So this Lulav wanted to execute one of the greatest leaders of the Jewish people at that time with the same zeal and fire that his Zayde served as a chassid of this man's Zayde. There is a fervor, there is a zealousness that's embedded in the Jew. There's a restlessness. Life as is, tegnisht. That's the common phenomenon that characterizes every Jew. Why? It's part of his created condition. Jewishness, according to the Alter Rebbe, by the way, is not a religion. It's not about certain feelings. It's not even about certain beliefs. It's a created condition. And that's why intermarriage can't work. Because at a deepest level, they don't connect. So in today's day and age, where the whole marriage institution has been destroyed, there can be that thought. But in the real sense of what marriage is, with a real connection of souls, not just on an external level, where physical intimacy is always, according to Torah, an expression of spiritual intimacy, it doesn't begin with physicality. It has to begin with psychological intimacy and connection. In that level of marriage, it doesn't work. Because at the deepest level of self, the Jew and the non-Jew are two created conditions. So, the Chachma Shebenefesh is there and it exists, its influence. But, here is the difference. Sometimes it's exiled and sometimes it's not exiled. The energy of transcendence is there. The yearning to go beyond the status quo, to revolt, to change, that's there. But what is that energy used for? It could be absolutely exiled, tragically exiled, and fighting its own God from which it's receiving its whole energy and power. So every neshama of a Jew wants to become connected with ruchnius, with godliness, with spirituality. That very same drive it's using to fight spirituality. That's unbelievable. That's the paradox of Jewish life. Says the Alter Rebbe, that only happens to the energy of Chachma. Chachma itself never goes to exile. The quintessence of the Jew never goes to exile. That's asleep. And what do you do when someone is asleep? How do you get them out of sleep? Huh? So there are many differences. You know, some people, they're sleeping in a room, and you just enter the room and they're up. Others are sleeping in the room, you got to open the light. Others doesn't help. A pail of garbage can of cold water over their head maybe will wake them up. You know, in yeshiva and camp, there were always the various types of bachram. That the dorm counselors knew, this guy, let me go get my stick. And the same is true in the spiritual life of the Jew. Chachma Shebenefesh never goes to exile. A Jew will have a lot of passion in corrupting himself in this universe badly. But one force he cannot employ in this journey, and that is Chachma itself. The spashtus of Chachma, that goes along. The essence, that deep connection, the space in the soul doesn't go anywhere. That doesn't have a counterpart. That cannot serve an alien force. It can be revealed and it can be dormant. It's asleep. So what do you do about that? You have to shake it. You have to shake it. So what happens? The Alter Rebbe says that's a nisayon. A nisayon and a munna. See, that's the distinction he's making here in this parak. A nisayon and a munna does that. As long as the Jew is involved in alamaisis, he's involved in propagating political ideas and making social changes and being heaven, making revolutions in his business and so on and so forth, whatever it may be. Planning infinite vacations. I read a story, it's a weird story, but it's an interesting story. The Baal Shem Tov would daven every day in Beis HaMedrash and Mezhebush. Everyone knew when you were in shul, when the Baal Shem Tov davened, something happened to you. There was an alcoholic that used to come every day to the Baal Shem Tov's davening. And he said that when the Baal Shem Tov finishes davening, his taiva, his impulse, his desire, his yearning to alcohol, reaches an infinite mass. And then he can really go drink. You hear what happened? Why push it? The Baal Shem Tov introduced infinity into his life. Even an addiction, I don't know how addicted this guy was, if he was a real alcoholic, he was addicted. The world is defined by finiteness. So everything is finite. Godliness is infinite. So he took the Baal Shem Tov's energy and he used it for the most unhealthy thing. One of the most unhealthy things. That gave it an infinite energy. That's called the spashtus of Chachma being in Galus. But the whole taiva was now a different experience. It was happening. There was Kayach of Alakus there. The Baal Shem Tov's power was there. So remember, next time you have a powerful taiva, remember where it's coming from. It's because you want to connect to Hashem, basically. Look, even Jews at planes. You ever saw Jews on planes? On planes? Is there ever a moment of tranquility? It's not only religious Jews, they're much worse, but even non-religious Jews. It expresses itself in many, many ways. That's how the Alter Rebbe begins the Perek. Neir Hashem Nishmas Adam. There's a flame flickering, never content. Even water, you put it in a cup, it's content. The soul is not content. Why? It's looking for a lukus, for godliness. Always searching for that. Now when one knows this, and one nourishes the real energy, that's living a healthy life. That's living a balanced, stable, harmonious life for the Jew. So what happens now? So this is all galus. Then there's the Chachm itself. And this is the last point. The Chachm itself is not in exile. It's asleep. It's asleep. As long as the Chachm is in exile, there's a Ruach Shtus. Klipa takes over and hacks our own messages that are insane. Now there comes a moment where the Chachm is not asleep anymore. It was shaken up. The Jew was presented with an issue of Amunah, where he could not say that he is unaware that he's separating himself from himself, that Ruach Shtus that we discussed before, and he cannot be indifferent to it, because it's very obvious what is going on. You come to the Jew and you say, tear yourself away from Hashem and you live. Don't tear away yourself from Hashem and you won't live. This is the moment where he feels that he's going to be separated. Here, Chachma gushes forth. Here, the switch is turned on. The switch was turned off the whole time. It was asleep. It didn't bother him. No one bothered him. And he was going on with his life. Here, suddenly, the switch of Chachma is turned on. That switch releases like an atomic energy type of a thing. And when that happens, nothing else matters. And he gives everything away for his Jewishness. And Alter Rebbe says that this happens at a certain critical point in life. When this switch, when that's challenged, when this element in his life is challenged, as long as the Emunah itself is not challenged, or not challenged on a serious level, he can ignore. He's not in touch with that element of himself. Last week, a few weeks ago, someone was listening to the tape of the Shia, so he called me in the middle of the week. He says he begs to disagree on what Alter Rebbe talks about, the uniqueness of the Jew, that he's ready to sacrifice himself. He says, look at most American Jews today, they don't give a hoot about their Jewishness. They're assimilating and intermarrying and so forth. The only thing that bothers them, he says, is if you would come to these American Jews and you would tell them to stop being Jewish. They can't be Jewish anymore. He says, for that they'll go till the end. Not because they're religious, not because they hate Yiddishkeit, they hate God. So I said, so why if you tell them that they have to cease being Jewish, will they go till the end? It's apparently totally misunderstood. Why would the most assimilated Jew, if you'll come to him and you'll say, you have to stop, but you can't be Jewish anymore. Zeislai. Why not? What is this Jewishness that I cannot imagine myself not being a part of? The mitzvahs you think are old-fashioned. Torah you think is outdated. Orthodox Jews, observant Jews, so to speak, are fundamentalist neurotics from Brooklyn. So what is this that you don't want to become separated from? This itself, sometimes the secularity of today's era demonstrates this more than everything else, because he still considers himself Jewish. And if you want to separate him from this, l'chur emeila, religious Jew, I understand. Jewishness means something to him. To this person, Jewishness doesn't mean anything. What's this identity of the Jew that they have? Chachma shebenefesh. There's godliness in the Jew. Now, for that switch to be provoked, various things can happen. For one Jew, it's tell him to open a light on Shabbos. Forget about a light. Tell him to carry something muktzah on Shabbos. Never. And for another Jew, it means converting. But Alter Rebbe says there's a point in the game, so to speak, where Chachma Shebenefesh is not silent anymore. Where Chachma Shebenefesh is evoked. Once Chachma Shebenefesh is evoked, when it comes to an Indian of Emunah in Hashem, which is connected with Chachm, it's not connected to Shabbos or Muktzah or Tefillin or Mezuzah or Kashrus. You're connecting now whether yes Hashem or not Hashem. Yes, a Jew or not a Jew. Here, suddenly, chachma is evoked. Over here, it's not anymore a philosophical issue, an emotional issue. This touched, it evoked that fuse in the Jew's soul. Once that fuse is evoked, he says, the klippas are shattered, they're vanished, it's as if they don't exist. A certain force and power is exposed, and when that's exposed, everything that he engaged in during his whole life is certainly insignificant. The same taivas that he was accustomed to, suddenly, the Alter Rebbe says, become repulsive at that moment. What happened? What's this change of personality? What, he went insane? There's a new definition of self. A new self emerges. And when that self emerges, everything else is, the priorities are so crystal clear and everything else is insignificant. And Alter Rebbe concludes with four psukim, if you realize. Well, this will conclude. He concludes with four psukim, you see. You know why four psukim? Shalosh klipsat meis and klipas naiga. First pasuk, all the nations are nothing before him. All your enemies shall be lost, scattered. The third one is, as wax melts before fire, so shall a wicked perish. And what's the fourth one? The hills melted like wax. It's only in the fourth pasuk where destruction and perishment is not mentioned. And this refers to klipas nega, the shalosh klipas hatmeis, which are totally unclean klipas, and the method of dealing with them is nullification. And this klipas nega, which has to be refined. So he says, this Jew, his whole life he was involved in lusts and compulsive issues, either forbidden or even permitted, but not godly. When this chachma shebenefesh emerges, he chooses Hashem as his portion, as his lot. So all the negative shells are shattered naturally. They're vanished. They're scattered on all four levels. That's the remez in the fact that he brings these four psukim. Once chachma releases as its voice, godliness is not a philosophy anymore. Atheism is not an option. Not because he's intelligent and he's a good philosopher, but because at the core of his life is Hashem, Kadosh Baruch Hu.
The Alter Rebbe mentioned the word sak. I'm talking about the avodas that cover up the nefesh on the kiss.
Yeah, sak, yeah.
The word sak, sakra, and a lot of other...
Okay, it's a very good point. There's a big difference when you say levush and when you say sak. A levush is also a garment that conceals the body. But Alter Rebbe emphasizes that when a yid does an avera, the love and the character of the divine soul is enclosed, it's concealed by the klippa, as in a levush sack. A garment conceals the body, but it's not like a sackcloth conceals the body. Because a garment suits the body. The various parts of a shirt are made in a fashion and a manner that suit the structure, the anatomy of the human body. You don't put shoes on your head. You put a hat on your head. Pants suit a certain part of the body. So they conceal, but they also express. They are suitable to the nature, to the physical structure of the body. What's a sack? You put on a sackcloth. A sackcloth blocks the body. It doesn't express it. It doesn't suit its character. It's just one cover-up. That's why a sack, from head to toe, it's exactly the same. It's totally identical. So the nekuda is also the same. He asked before, sometimes the nefesh ha-bahamis is a levush of the nefesh ha-lekis. No. By a beinani, even if there's some type of concealment, the nefesh ha-bahamis is maybe a levush. Over here, by an aveda, it becomes a sack for the avim esoteris. Which means it's totally alien and hostile to the nature of the Ava. Doesn't suit it, b'chlal. Fakert, the person is doing something which is in total opposition to what his true nature is. So it's there, the Ava is there, like we spoke before. That the Jewishness is expressed often. Sometimes, even in the negative act, there's a certain intensity in the passion that characterizes it. But that act is totally alien and hostile and concealing and totally not in sync with what is going on inside, which is a search and a yearning for spirituality.
Maybe Shabbat is
Okay. Yeah. I wanted to bring up one nekuda. A yid has a nefesh alikis. Every yid, by virtue of his being a Jew, possesses within himself a certain transcendental consciousness. And that expresses itself in every yid. Yeah. By a yid who's connected with what's going on internally, and the Tachlis Hashleim, the perfected model of that is Meshir Rabbeinu, Mifcher Min HaEnushi, Isha Lekim. Yeah. So his external day-to-day behavior is totally in sync with his internal transcendental consciousness. By another Jew, that same transcendental energy can be distorted and finds expression in ways and in avenues that are totally antithetical to its true nature. But I wanted to say one thing, that there's a common denominator in every yid, from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low. From Moshe Rabbeinu on the high to the most lowly of Jews, to a Jew of that nature. And that is what? Both of them were not content. In Yiddish, kann man sagen, Beide episode geagbert ze. Something was perturbing them. But they were not content with the here and now, with materialism as is, with physical gratification. Something was bothering them, something was perturbing them. There was a yearning. Some type of yearning. What they did to deal with that yearning, over here there are extremes. That's Garandish. Yeah. Now, you're asking me to get the relationship between a Yid and a non-Jew. I mentioned before, Kedusha comes from Chachma. That's the Nekuda of the Neshama of a Yid. But the Rebbe says that's the antithetical of Klip and Sitra Achira, which are egocentric, which are defined by the ego, by the self, not by self-nullification. The Alter Rebbe's point here is fakert. This is what a Jew has to introduce into the universe. This is the primary mission of Jews in this world, to bring the energy of nothingness into a world of somethingness. So that the contribution of the nations of the world to civilization were many, and some of them were very powerful. But it was all in the realm of somethingness. All in the realm of Bina and further. The contribution of a Yid is to introduce Chachma to the universe, to introduce nothingness into identity, to introduce the space into the nations of the universe. Okay, that is the contribution of a Yid.
How are you this time of the year when they go to Eretz Yisrael, the Masoret gets and says, all those that are sitting have a happy Christmas, all those that are standing have a happy Chanukah.
Have a wonderful week on Afreilich Chanukah.
Rabbi Jacobson delivers this weekly class on the Tanya at Heichal Menachem in the Borough Park section of Brooklyn, New York. To order additional tapes or albums, please call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076.